8, because it's such an important one, which is prayerfulness. But that's a good thing, because we all need that. Amen? We all need that. So, before we dive in and finish number 28, prayerfulness, every Christian should have a verse, at least one verse memorized on prayer. Amen? If you don't, then get to work. So, on this side, who has a verse that they can share with us about prayer? Anybody? It can even be 1 Thessalonians 5:17, which is only three words. Brent? Pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5. Anybody else on this side have a memory verse about prayer? That's a good... That those are good sayings, Jan. Amen. Anyone else? Yeah?
But in prayer, thank you without, sorry. I don't know.
Are you talking?
My prayer and supplication
with thanksgiving. Yep. So that's Philippians 4:6, right? Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Center section. Anybody? Just a verse on prayer. We all should have at least one in here. Amen. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. One verse on prayer. And 1 Thessalonians 5:17 is already taken. Nobody? How about this side? One verse on prayer. Okay, so it looks like we've got some work to do. We should all have at least one. Amen. And last week we looked at, I don't know how many. 20, 30 verses on prayer. And as far as memory verses, the ones we gave out last week, Psalm 55:17, evening and morning and at noon will I pray aloud and he shall hear my voice. Matthew 21:22, all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. And Luke 18:1, you speak the parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. So we're to keep praying. Amen. So last week we looked at what the Bible teaches about guidelines for prayer. And just to review, we talked about how we need to have our sins confessed. Amen. We need to be submissive to the Word. We need to pray in faith. We need to pray having forgiven. We need to pray with thanksgiving. And then Jesus gave us some guidelines in Matthew 6, right? No repetition, no vain repetitions, and we should have a prayer closet. We should have a time alone with God. And so today, just quickly, we're going to finish by looking at some of the hindrances to prayer so that we're prepared and know that when we go to God in prayer, He's hearing us. And it's not that He can't hear us. Sometimes He chooses not to hear us, right? Because of sin. Amen? We see this in the Scripture. So let's just quickly go through these. Number one, unconfessed sin is probably the number one hindrance to prayer. So Mr. Scott, if you could read Psalm 66:18, we'll pray. Dive into these and finish up number 28, prayerfulness.
If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not give me.
Let's pray. Lord, give us wisdom. And use your word to teach and grow us today. May you be glorified and guide us in your truth as we contemplate this most amazing thing that we're allowed to do, which is approach the throne of Almighty God and speak directly to you. Lord, may we get a hold of this and live it. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. So number one, unconfessed sin, which we talked about last week a bit, but Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So the solution to that, of course, is 1 John 1:9. Amen. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So number two would be lack of faith. We talked about this last week as well. But the Bible says that we must, when we pray, we must pray in faith. So, Brent, could you read Matthew 21:22 for us again? It's one of our memory verses, but Matthew 21:22.
Yes, and all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall
So that the key word there is the word believing, isn't it? Believing. Now, most of us know the verse, but Roy, if you could read for us Hebrews 11:6, very important truth that we must pray in faith. So if we don't pray in faith, then it's not God's not going to answer. If we don't believe He can answer, He won't answer. It's that simple. And then Mr. Zeus, James 1:6-7. So our second hindrance is if we're not praying in faith, then we're not going to get answers. Our first one, of course, is unconfessed sin.
But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave or the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not the man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord.
Amen. So a double-minded man is unstable, it says in verse 8. So God says, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Amen? Nothing wavering. So we must pray in faith. If we don't, it can hinder our prayer life. So unconfessed sin, lack of faith, also a rebellious attitude toward the Word of God is going to hinder our prayer life as well. Proverbs 28:9. Nathan, could you read that for us? Proverbs 28:9.
He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination.
So he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. Remember we looked at Isaiah 59. The Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is there heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God. In other words, if we are in disobedience, it will hinder our prayers. Shane, if you could read 1 John 3:22. So a rebellious attitude toward God's word will hinder our prayer life.
And whatsoever we ask, we receive, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are
pleasing to us. Amen. Thank you. So that's number three. Number four would be, like we talked about last week, unforgiveness, unrighted wrongs. That's Mark 11. Mr. Scott, if you could read that, Mark 11:25-26. And God mentions praying in this passage, Mark 11:25-26. So unforgiveness will hinder our prayer life. And then the Bible talks about even marriage, which is one we don't think about very often. It's actually the only verse in the Bible that mentions hindrance and prayer in the same verse. So, Brent, if you could read 1 Peter 3:7, if our marriage isn't right, it can hinder our prayer life. That your prayers be not hindered. So isn't that interesting? That's the only time that the word hindered in prayer in the same verse, that your prayers be not hindered. And it has to do with the marriage relationship. Husbands, honor your wives, know your wives, and so forth. So if the marriage relationship isn't right, so these things can hinder our prayer life. We must essentially be in sweet fellowship with the one we are praying to, amen, which is our Heavenly Father. Remember, like we talked last week, our relationship is settled if we're Christians. We're His child. Praise God. That can't be changed by the devil, by sin, by nothing, not even by ourselves. We are secure in Jesus Christ. But the fellowship can be hindered by sin and indifference to the Word and these other things we talked about, rebellion, unforgiveness, and the marriage relationship. So that kind of finishes up last week. We just didn't quite get there last week. Thoughts or questions for number 28, which is prayerfulness. Super important virtue that every Christian should possess. Prayerfulness. Anybody? Brother Mark. Yep, keep praying. Luke 18, Luke 11.
I don't know the answer. I'm just asking you. Maybe because maybe the Lord's not hearing our prayer because we're not right with the Lord. So in a sense, I'm just asking you to keep on praying for what you're wanting. Maybe because we're not right with the Lord, until we do come right with the Lord, we keep bringing it until He answers that prayer. Is that any truth in that?
Well, there's two aspects to the importunity. Well, that's one of them, is we're not getting an answer because He's not listening. But there's also the aspect of what He's teaching in that parable, which is, it's not that He doesn't want to answer. It's He wants us to keep asking, because why did He create us? For fellowship. And let's be real. If every time we just uttered a prayer for anything, God just dropped it down out of the sky, you know, like a drone dropping it in your yard, would we really spend time with God? Or will we just say, Lord, I need these 10 things. Thank you. I'll see you tomorrow. What does He wants fellowship. He wants us to spend time with Him. And let's look at the parable that Mark brought up, Luke 18. The parable about importunity, because what is God teaching in this parable? Well, we have a man who wants to provide bread for a friend, right? And then we have this man who is going to answer and finally give him the loaf of bread, but it says that verse 2, there was in the city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. There was a widow in that city. She came unto him, saying, avenge me and mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Hear what the unjust judge saith. So this is Jesus speaking. And shall not God avenge His own elect, which cry day and night unto Him, though He bear long with them? Why would God bear long? This is Jesus teaching us about the Heavenly Father. If anybody knows, it's Jesus. Though He bear long with them, why would God bear long? Why would He wait? Why would He make us keep asking? I tell you, He will avenge them speedily. He's telling us, of course, He's better than this unjust judge, because He's just and He's loving and He's kind. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on the earth? So why would God bear long? Why would He make us wait? Because He wants us to keep asking, because He wants the fellowship. Now the other parable is in Luke 11 that Mark brought up. Let's turn there. These two parables go together quite nicely. Verse 5, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say unto him, my friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine is in his journey, has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Which we are very familiar with from Matthew 7. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give a fish for him? Will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? So there's that word that Mark mentioned in verse 8, importunity. What does that mean? It means don't quit. Keep it up. Beryl? Exactly. Just keep asking. So there's two aspects there. There's obviously, if you're not getting answers to prayer, you need to evaluate your heart. Amen. If we would judge ourselves, 1 Corinthians 11, make sure we're right with God. that we're not hindering our own prayers through our own disobedience or sin. But then number two, God wants us to spend time with Him. He created us, remember, for fellowship. He created us in the image of Himself. It's not said about any other part of His creation. Only man was created in the image of God. And before the fall, what did God do but come down and fellowship with Adam in the garden? They spent time together. Imagine what that would have been like. We can't until we get to heaven. But God wants us to spend time with Him. And because we are so self-focused and selfish, sometimes we need God to just take His time so that we can keep spending time with Him. And so it's both in answer to your question. That's a good question, though. Any other comments or questions about prayerfulness, number 28 in our 40 Christian virtues? Then let's move to number 29. Hopefully we can get through that today. And that's purity, or another word the Bible uses is chastity. So a couple of memory verses, Philippians 4:8. Let's go there, which we should have them memorized anyway, because it talks about our thought life and how important our thought life is. I think it's Roy's turn. If you could read Philippians 4:8 for us. So whatsoever things are pure, amen? That's our virtue for today, purity. And then also 1 Timothy 5:22 is another one. Let's look at that. Mr. Zeus, if you could read that for us, 1 Timothy 5:22. 5:22. Keep thyself pure. And then one more, 1 John 3:3. Nathan, if you could read that for us. So 1 John 3 is talking about how we're the sons of God and how we're looking forward to the return of Jesus Christ. There in verse 2. Talking about the purity of Jesus Christ there at the end. So every man that had this hope in him, the hope that Jesus could come at any moment, purifieth himself. Amen? Purifieth himself even as he is pure. So purity, our motive obviously should be to please the Lord. But God reminds us in 1 Corinthians 6 that we are now the temple of God. So, Mr. Scott, if you could read 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 for us.
What know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own?
So, we are the temple of the Holy Ghost, who is holy. Amen. And for that reason, God wants us to live a life of purity. Now, he does talk about sexual purity, which is a big part of it. Matthew 5:28 is very important. Brent, if you could read that for us. So Jesus, they're teaching us about purity in the mind and the thoughts, and that impurity can lead to, obviously, sinful actions. We see that in the example of David. And we must keep our minds pure, which is harder in this day and age than it used to be. But the Bible says, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he, right? Proverbs 23:7. Even Job said, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maiden? Job 31:1. So we must keep our minds pure. The opposite of that is a carnal mind. Roy, if you could read for us Romans 8, 6 and 7. So we must keep our minds pure. And that's a battle that we fight with the devil, isn't it? The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, right? But mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts, and bringing into captivity every thought. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 to 5. So our minds is a battlefield with the devil. We must keep them pure. We must keep our bodies pure. Because God is pure, and he now lives in us, and he wants us to be like him. So purity, very important. Number 29, very important Christian virtue is purity. Thoughts or questions about that? Number 29. All right, number 30 is one that we might not have thought of, and that's quietness. So let's go there. 1 Thessalonians 4:11 will be our memory verse. Mr. Zeus, if you could read that for us. 1 Thessalonians 4:11.
And let ye study to be quiet, to do your own business, and to work with your own hands, as we commanded you.
So we're going alphabetically. Never thought we'd have a Q word, but we do. Quietness. So notice God says here, study to be quiet. What do you think he means by that? Study to be quiet. But some people have a tendency to not be quiet, but to be the opposite, which is maybe on the loud side.
Was it talking about the study part of it?
Amen. But to study to be quiet. In other words, the more that we learn of God and learn of his word, the more quiet we're going to be, which we would think it would be the opposite. But the more we get into God's word, the more humble it's going to make us, the more meek it's going to make us. And we're actually going to be more quiet rather than less quiet if we study to be quiet. And you know, quietness is a beautiful thing for Christians. Psalm 46:10, God says, be still, right? Be still and know that I am God. Be still. Sometimes we just need to be quiet. And I talked about this at Men's Fellowship Friday night. When we spend time with God, it's supposed to be a two-way conversation. Amen? Sometimes we make it one-sided. We just come and we ask and ask and ask and ask, and then we end our time with God. And we don't give God an opportunity to speak to us. Well, where does he speak to us? Does he speak to us audibly in New Testament times? No, he speaks to us through this. Amen? So we need to spend more time in here, study to be quiet. The more time we spend in here, the more time God can spend speaking to us. And it will help us to be still, amen, Psalm 46:10, and know that I am God. So this quietness thing, we don't hear a lot about it, but it is very scriptural. Let's look at Proverbs 17:1, Nathan, if you would, and see that it's Old Testament, New Testament, that we study to be quiet. Proverbs 17:1. Now, every parent who's raised children knows that there's times when it's just nice when it's quiet, because you don't get those times very often. Amen, Brother Roy? When you have the little babies and they cry a lot, when you have a quiet time, you just say, oh, this is so refreshing. This is so awesome. And God says that's better, to have quietness even with just a little bit of food, than a house full of sacrifices with strife. Quietness, he says, is better. Another one, Habakkuk 2:20. I'll read that one if you want to turn there. Habakkuk or Habakkuk, however you want to pronounce it. Chapter 2, verse 20. Notice, but the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. How much time in our devotion time, whatever you want to call it, our time alone with God, do we just be quiet and keep silence and let God speak to us through this book, through the Holy Spirit? We need to spend more time in silence, letting God speak. And God was teaching us that lesson. Remember when Elijah ran from Jezebel and hid in the cave? And he thought God was going to speak to him through what? The earthquake? Nope. Didn't speak to him through the earthquake. Then what? He thought God was going to speak to him through the whirlwind? Nope. Didn't speak through the whirlwind. How did he speak to him? Still small voice. What was he teaching us? To be quiet and listen and let God speak to us. So a couple more verses in the New Testament, 2 Thessalonians 3:12. Mr. Scott, if you want to read that for us. Quietness is a Christian virtue that we should all be pursuing. With quietness they work. With quietness. Amen? And then, Brent, 1 Timothy 2:2, another one.
For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet, peaceable life, for godliness and honesty.
So quietness is a virtue that we should be pursuing. And we need to study to be quiet, as we just saw in 1 Thessalonians 4:11. Study to be quiet. Be more quiet. Spend more time just being still and letting God speak to us through his word. But also even in life, God says quietness is a good thing, that he may live a quiet and peaceable life, as we just read in 1 Timothy 2:2. So it is a virtue to be quiet. To not be the opposite of quiet. And then God even mentions it when he talks about wives. 1 Peter 3:4. Roy, if you could read that. He says that it is of great price.
But let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the heart of the ornament of the head, before the spirit, which is in the sight of God, great.
Meek and quiet spirit. Amen? That's our goal. Quietness. That was 1 Peter 3:4. Quietness. So that's number 30. We've got 10 left. Thoughts or questions about prayerfulness, purity, or quietness? Next week, receptivity. How about that for a fancy word? Receptivity to the word. Anybody on any of these three that we've talked about today? Prayerfulness, purity, quietness. Yes, Brother Mark.
I know it always seems like when you want that quiet time that the world seems to get noisy around you.
Always.
You want that quiet, peaceful time, and sometimes a lot of the stresses come along the way. It's not as easy as that to be quiet. Sometimes distractions keep coming and
Who do you think is bringing all those distractions to try to keep us from having a quiet time? We all know who it is, don't we? I mean, even when you think about when you're witnessing to someone in their lounge, God's finally opened their hearts, you're finally getting an opportunity to share the gospel with them, and they're starting to listen. That's the exact time when the baby starts screaming, or someone knocks on the door. or the neighbor turns up their music really loud or whatever, but that's the devil, isn't it? And it's the same with quietness. The more time we spend in quietness, the closer we're going to get to God. The more in tune we're going to be with God. Well, the devil doesn't want that. So he brings distractions into our lives and into our minds to keep us from having that sweet, quiet time. Be still. Amen. Be still and know that I am God. Sometimes we just need to be quiet.